Hello, and thanks so much for joining me for another edition of Face the Facts. I'm your host, April Moss. Today, we're going to be talking about a lawsuit that has now been filed against three California hospitals for uninformed consent in giving the deadly drug remdesivir to patients. And this is being brought by two attorneys, Michael Hamilton out of California. He is a cornerstone attorney. He has dedicated his practice of law to fighting medical tyranny. Michael has a degree in philosophy with an emphasis in Marxist studies. For the last two decades, he has fought for people without a voice. He currently serves as the litigation strategist for Truth for Health Foundation and has fought against the unlawful mandates on behalf of the military and others. And Dan Watkins has been practicing law for 30 years. He's licensed in California and Nevada. He's litigated thousands of cases in the areas of medical and dental malpractice. And he also is a former U.S. Army Reserve and California Army National Guard. He served 14 years. He now has found more gratification working on the issues of human and civil rights over this past year than the entire preceding 29 years combined. I'm honored to talk with both of these gentlemen. Let's get right into my discussion today with Michael Hamilton and Dan Watkins. This episode of Face the Facts is brought to you today by Holy Hydrogen. Head over to aprilmosstv.com and click on the Partners tab. You'll be able to see all the information about how molecular hydrogen will heal your body from the inside out. People have experienced great, wonderful healing benefits when they're suffering from cancer, arthritis, a weight gain, and also infertility. So head over to aprilmosstv.com. Click on Partners, and you'll be able to learn all about Holy Hydrogen and its healing benefits. Use promo April at your checkout to save $100 off of an at-home hydrogen system. Let's get right into today's interview. Daniel and Michael, thank you so much for joining me today on Face the Facts. We're talking about the lawsuit that you recently filed against three California hospitals regarding informed consent and the fact that many hospitals are not giving patients informed consent on this deadly protocol. Michael, I know you've studied this quite a bit. Can you please tell us a little bit about why it's necessary for patients to know the dangers of remdesivir?
Yes, thank you, April, and thank you for having us on. I have seen, we're in California, of course, with these lawsuits, but I have seen this exact same protocol with very little variation across many states. I have people reaching out to me from all over the country. First of all, remdesivir, which is the name is Veklury, but it's commonly known as remdesivir. It's a very deadly, poisonous drug. It was tested several years ago in some Ebola studies. And at that time, it killed 53.1% of everybody that it was given to, and it was pulled out of the study and it was banned. Since then, the largest study that has been done was with the World Health Organization, and their conclusion was that it does no good for remdesivir and it shouldn't for COVID, and it shouldn't be given to anybody with COVID. Nevertheless, it's being given to people. About a year ago, maybe a year and a half, the CDC was convinced to give it emergency use authorization. And they were convinced by a panel that included nine people from the National Institute for Health, the NIH. Nine of those folks had financial ties to Gilead Sciences.
That's the creator of remdesivir, correct?
Yeah, that's right. They manufacture it. So there was a lot of money here, and it's a drug that shuts down the kidneys. We have medical experts that can speak to exactly what it does, but what we've alleged in our lawsuit is that it creates the conditions that people are supposedly dying from COVID, but it's actually the remdesivir that and the protocol that goes with it that are killing them.
Now, gentlemen, I understand that you're using a study that was published in the New England Journal of Medicine to back up your claims that showed and proved that remdesivir was the least effective and even the deadliest drug that was used in the trial before it was suspended after 53% of the Ebola patients who took the drug passed away. It's hard to believe that this is happening in America, where we have doctors and nurses giving patients medications without telling them about the side effects or even about the actual studies from the clinical trials. I'm so grateful for what you are doing to raise awareness on this and really bring justice to the system. Am I correct that you're representing 14 individual families here in this suit?
We are representing 14.
Yeah, 14 families, three hospitals have been named, three separate lawsuits for exactly what you just pointed out, April. The idea that patients are not given an opportunity to determine how they're going to be treated. And it is mind-boggling. And that's why we filed the cases. I mean, not only is remdesivir known to be horribly ineffective for COVID, they're doing it. And in some of the cases that we have, some of the families, they've actually objected to the use of remdesivir, said, do not administer this drug. And the hospital and the healthcare providers did it. That's why we're stepping in. Something has to be done. And the fight is on now, because that type of conduct just cannot be accepted in this country. It can't be.
And you know, so it's important for your viewers to understand that it's not just that they're giving them remdesivir. The entire protocol is, first of all, it's financially incentivized that they give them remdesivir to the exclusion of other remedies, remedies that actually work. But these folks come into the hospital, and let me just describe briefly, if I may, the protocol itself. They bring someone in, they tell them they have COVID pneumonia or something similar. They separate them from their family, they put them in the ICU, they put an oxygen machine on their face, and they hit them with such high levels of oxygen that it's very difficult for them to breathe. When they try to take it off, they often zip tie their hands to the bed rails. They bring in a psychiatrist who says they're agitated, so now they need morphine or fentanyl or some kind of a drug, a sedative that makes it hard for them to fight the effects of the remdesivir. Now the remdesivir is shutting down their kidneys, it's filling their lungs with fluid. They don't give them anything to eat or drink. They starve them. And they say, well, if we give them something to eat or drink, it's going to flood their system with fluids, and they're already flooded with fluids because of the COVID, but it's actually the remdesivir that's doing the job. I have clients who have been given, one client was given 27 doses of Tylenol in 24 hours, even though he didn't complain of pain. This is to further distress the kidneys.
It's poisoning people.
It's poisoning people. They're starving them to death. And in California, let me speak very briefly to the financial incentives. If you bring someone in California and you treat them with something that works, let's say you give them ivermectin, which has been awarded the Nobel Peace Prize, and it's a wonderful drug. It's been safe in millions and millions of cases all over the world. And let me add that in India, there's a state in which there are something like 241 million in population, and they've had like 11 cases of COVID because they use ivermectin as a prophylactic and to cure people. If you did that in a hospital in California and you sent them home, then the average charge rate would be about $3,200. If you keep them in the hospital and you treat them, the average charge rate goes up to $111,000 and change. But if you intubate them and put them in the ICU, either one, then it's referred to as a complex inpatient case, and the charge rate goes up to almost $450,000. On top of that, the government has incentivized the use of remdesivir to the exclusion of other remedies by offering a code that allows them to get a 20% bonus on the entire stay. So at a $450,000 charge rate, that's another roughly $90,000. So you send them home and cure them for $3,200, or you keep them there and kill them for $500,000.
It's absolutely disgusting what is going on. And it's broken down the trust that people have in our medical systems completely for what? The love of money, the root of all evil. It's interesting. You know, Daniel, if you could tell us a little bit about this suit regarding what's the time frame on this. I know that these things take a while. It could be a long time before these families actually see some justice.
That's right. Just in terms of the litigation process, we probably wouldn't have a trial date anytime within a year for sure, and maybe even 18 months from the filing date. We filed last Wednesday, so it'll take some time to get to a trial, and assuming it gets that far. But I think the objective is served already, at least partly, in the sense that we're bringing awareness to what's going on. You know, I've practiced in medical and dental malpractice defense my entire career, and I've worked with the healthcare profession, and there are so many amazingly good people there. Right now, we're representing thousands of healthcare professionals against their employers for the mandates in California. There's amazing people. What's happening, though, with this protocol and the implementation against the desires of the patient is something that I've just never seen, and I never thought I would see in my career. And I'm new to this whole fight within the last year, it's worth diving into because it's so completely opposite of what people think about in terms of the healthcare industry. And it's real. These are not exaggerations. These cases that Michael's describing, we have the clients right now in these cases that will testify to the exact protocols Michael just defined. And it's mind blowing. And so for us, the first thing that needed to happen, because it's not happening, is to file suit and bring awareness to what's going on. And then secondarily is to try and bring an end to the use of remdesivir in the treatment and the protocol, you know, and that's what we're trying to hold people accountable. So we may not get to a jury, for 18 months, if we get there at all, but I think we can start right now. And shows like yours and you putting out the word, we're just so grateful that you're paying attention to this and you're giving us an opportunity, because that's really the objective of the lawsuits up front, is to make people aware. If the hospital is going to give it to the patient unconsented to, and they're not going to listen to their wishes, then you know they have to be held accountable. But if patients know going in, I want remdesivir, I want ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, and they're demanding it, and the hospital changes course, then the lawsuits have been successful in our mind. And if from the client's perspectives as well, I think they're all on board with that too. They just want it stopped, and then they want compensation for their losses after that.
Absolutely. And of course, no amount of money is going to, you know, equal or be comparable to a loved one who has been lost. The most disturbing thing to me in this entire process is when patients or loved ones of patients have gone into the hospital fully aware that remdesivir is deadly, and they said, I do not want this. And the power of attorney has been given to a family member, and that family member says, under no circumstances are you to give my loved one remdesivir, and they give it to them anyway. I know that in the past, a lot of people have been really shying away from the idea of suing, right? And so many of us have been kind of brought up to think, you know, we really shouldn't sue people. It's just, you know, in this case, every single person listening to my voice right now who has been affected by remdesivir in the hospitals, you have got to get legal representation and fight this, because this is happening in California. It's happening in Arizona, Texas, New York, Michigan. All of the states are doing this. A lot of it has to do with things that were passed in Congress years ago, way before COVID even started. And I'm working on a documentary to expose it all.
Oh, that's great. And let me say, the idea behind this lawsuit, there's many objectives. One is to prepare a template, so to speak, of what you can do in your state as an attorney to file lawsuits and how you can allege to get around maybe certain immunities that might apply. I don't want to get too much into strategy, but the idea is to prepare a template and give people confidence that they can file. And we have a team of experts that's growing and growing and growing. The number of healthcare professionals that are opposed to the use of remdesivir and those protocols is growing, and they're speaking out. And so hopefully we can get some momentum. we are getting emails after emails of the exact stories you just described, April, and that we're talking about here today. So we're keeping track of those, and hopefully we can find some people that, you know, they feel pushed or nudged by God. After a long career, like I said, I've been practicing 30 years. I'm in my 30th year. I just started on this endeavor in terms of fighting against the mandates and pushing back against some of this loss of personal autonomy, the degradation of religious liberties. And the last year has been more gratifying in my practice of law than the 29 years combined before it. And so for any attorney out there who's a Christian and loves the Lord and wants to step out and help people, listen, if you're being nudged, say yes, and he will provide you the opportunities. And hopefully we're here at any attorney. I'm not a brilliant attorney, but I'm going to step into this fight and I'm willing to help anybody that wants to do it. And I know Michael is too. He's one of the best men I've ever met. And that's something that God has done in this litigation too, bringing people together. So it can happen for attorneys out there. If they just say yes, we can help them. We can get them support. And most importantly, God will help them.
Well, I always say courage is contagious. And I really believe that by others watching what you're doing, and you guys are the tip of the spear, you're leading the way and paving the way for other lawyers to boldly come forward and hold these people accountable for their crimes against humanity. Michael, I'd like to give you the last word. We have about 30 seconds.
April, I'm so thankful to be in this fight. I never even asked myself, should I be doing this? The only question was, how can I not? It's happening all over the country. I've never seen anything like it in the history of our country. The Supreme Court has said repeatedly that people have an unassailable right to refuse medication, and it's being ignored, and people are being put to death for money. Dan and I are very thankful to be in this fight for all the people across America. We are at the tip of the spear, and we cannot wait to see the dominoes begin to fall.
Thank you, gentlemen, so much for joining Face the Facts. I look forward to having you on again for an update as we get closer. And God bless you both. Thank you for your bravery.
Thank you, April. God bless.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today. As you know, I've been working on this documentary called Bad Medicine. It is set to be released this fall. That's going to document what's been going on in our hospital systems and how we are going to solve this problem. But if you need legal help, if you or a loved one have been injured by remdesivir in the hospital for their deadly protocols, please contact me and I'll put you in touch with lawyers in your area. Thank you so much for joining the show today. Please share this with family and friends. God bless, and we'll see you next time.